Weekend Drive is brought to you by Reynolds & Reynolds, the industry leader in automotive technology. To find out more, visit rayray.com. Once again, that's rayray.com. We welcome you into Weekend Drive. Jason Stein, Mike Whalen, Mike Martinez, the three amigos reunited again after a very busy January. Gentlemen, great to see you.
Fun times.
Pack times, right? When you consider what we went through in January, not only with obviously the auto show, which we talked about a few weeks ago, but also World Congress, NADA, saw many of our constituents, many of our viewers. It was happy to see everyone. And speaking of seeing everyone, we bumped into, collectively, a couple of interesting folks along the way.
Even got a few of them on camera.
Dragged them in front of the camera in order to get some thoughts and opinions, both from Ernie Garcia and Kumar Galhotra. And we'll start with a conversation that I had at NADA in San Francisco with Carvana CEO and founder, Ernie Garcia. Ernie, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So Carvana's been really topical for many retailers over the last year or two. Give us a little bit of an update on how things are going with Carvana and maybe the model going forward for 19.
So we think the business is going great. We've been growing really fast. We just had our 19th straight quarter of triple-digit growth.
19th straight quarter of triple-digit growth, right?
Yep, that's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's been a lot of work. We're very excited about heading into 19. We think we got a lot of growth in front of us, so we're going to keep doing what we're doing.
So innovation is obviously the key. How are you continuing to innovate the business?
So I think the core goals that we have from the very beginning are the exact same. We want to make car buying as simple as possible for customers. So we want to listen to what they want. We want to make sure that we meet those needs. We want to help them find the car they're looking for. We want to make sure we're able to sell the car at a price that's interesting to them. We want the transaction to be as seamless as possible, going through finance and everything else. I think that those core goals haven't changed. I think the tool set that we've used to achieve those goals is constantly getting more and more sophisticated, and we continue to work in all those directions. But the core goals have not changed.
Ernie, you've had many plans, some of which you outlined to our retail forum crowd, that include ambitious growth. And one of them is to ramp up to 2 million sales. Explain how 2 million sales for Carvana still fits into the overall retail channel and how there's room for everybody.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, this is an industry with 40 million transactions per year on just the used side. If you add new, it's another 17, give or take, million, right? So you've got 57 million transactions. It's a very, very large market, and I think, we feel like we've got an offering that scales very well, that serves at least a certain type of customer extremely well. We're seeing a lot of growth, when we look at our market shares in Atlanta and in other markets that we launched, shortly thereafter. We see reason to believe that we can get to a very, very big player. And so, we're shooting for 2 million plus units, and that's something that we think we can achieve. We also think that the market is absolutely enormous and that there's room for lots of people to do extremely well. And so, I'm not sure that dealers should hear that and necessarily feel like we're coming to eat their lunch. I think there's lots of lunch on the table.
Lots of lunch on the table, and especially if the formula that you showed to our retail forum audience holds to be true. Explain that formula a little bit for us.
Sure. Well, so I think in general, when people are trying to look at an industry, I think what they tend to do is they compare, by analogy. So everyone wants to look at how big can you be compared to CarMax or how big can you be compared to AutoNation. And I think those are completely reasonable comparisons, but I think it's also useful to look at the industry structure itself. And so in this industry, the largest player has a 2% market share. That's very abnormal. If you look at general merchandise where Walmart is, they've got about a 54% market share. If you look at grocery, Kroger has an 18% market share. Generally speaking, when you look at these other retail verticals, there are much, much larger players. And I think our view is that the fundamental reason why it's been so fragmented in auto for such a long time is just that, for the most part, there aren't a lot of economies of scale. It's very hard to scale up and continue to deliver great customer experiences. And so what we're trying to do now is build a business model that gives customers very simple experiences, that's very scalable, and that scales well, and therefore unlocks a different kind of economy of scale.
As that scales, you also believe there's a room to possibly partner with dealers in the future, perhaps on the service side of things.
So what I would say is I think dealers definitely have assets we don't have. There's no doubt about that. They have a physical footprint across the country. They do service for all these customers. We're selling cars to many, many customers now, right? If we go back over the last couple of years, it was 2,000 sales and 6,000 sales and 18,000 sales and 44,000 sales. In 2018, we haven't announced our numbers yet, but we guided to kind of the mid 90,000 sales. So we're growing our customer base very, very quickly, and those customers do need service. I think that's one of many possible opportunities for us to partner with dealers in the future, but we're going to be thoughtful about when we do that, and we're going to to do it with a product we feel really good about and that we'll roll out over time. And today's not that day.
How many markets are you in right now?
We're in about 85 markets, give or take.
And your plans are to continue to expand the footprint, obviously.
So we haven't announced what our goals are for 19, but we opened about 40 markets in 2018. And so we plan to continue to grow very rapidly.
Well, you got a lot of ambition. Give us a little weekend drive perspective into who you are, though. You have three kids under 7.
Yep.
And what do you drive?
You don't want to know the answer to that. I drive a Tesla. No one's going to like that answer. I really do think it's an incredible car. I think it's a great product, and I wanted to make sure I understood the driverless capabilities there, and I think they're the furthest ahead. So that was an opportunity, and I do think it's just fun. I mean, people can dislike the brand, but it's a fun car to drive.
Have you connected with Elon Musk at all?
I have not. I'd love to. I think he's incredible. Despite what other people think, I think he's. I think when history is written, he will be judged very favorably. And I think, like all people along the way, he's probably going to be ridiculed a bit. But I think when it's all written, he's going to be judged very positively.
Are you spending too much time trying to hold employees accountable? Listen to Brian Martin, Finance Director, and Tim Roussel, General Manager at Brian Honda, discuss how reverse risk reporting helps them manage employees and make better operational decisions.
One of the biggest measures that we see in how I look at the overall performance, not just of my finance managers, the salesperson, is reverse risk. Reverse risk has been amazing as far as how I can hold my managers accountable.
The entire employee base knows that you're watching and can see that you're watching, and they can watch it on reverse risk too. They know what you're coming to talk about. They can already see it for themselves and have probably already made some adjustments. There's a lot of things in a general manager's fingertips that you've always wanted through your whole career, but you've had to build reports and you've had to kind of build your own spreadsheets and you've had to build a lot of your own stuff. Right now, I can have all that information on my desktop and it's really fast, easy. I don't worry about contracts in transit. I don't worry about how long a car sits in service before it gets back to the used car lot. I don't worry about if the advertising is working. I don't really worry about most of the things I used to have to worry about.
For more information about why you should use reverse risk, visit rayray.com/reverse risk. Once again, that's rayray.com/reverse risk.
Well, that was a big number that Ernie talked about, 2 million. Now, he didn't give any kind of time frame for when Carvana is going to sell 2 million vehicles. I'm hearing it's within 5 years, which sounds mind-blowing to me. Gentlemen?
I think that's pretty optimistic. I'm not sure that they can get there in 5 years or even 10 years. I mean, it takes a lot to grow a brand like that, and especially when you're introducing something as new as what Carvana is doing, I just don't see them actually hitting that number.
Well, I mean, what they're going to have to do is they're going to have to convince people to trade in their vehicles at a more frequent rate, right? So they may have a chance if this used vehicle market keeps growing. You see companies like CarMax have, about 700,000 or so sales a year. Carvana's at 100,000 in 2018.
But triple-digit growth now for a long time.
The streak is very impressive, but you wonder how long you can keep that up.
Yeah, the one number that's not going in the right direction yet is profitability. Of course, that's what everybody wonders about. I think when profits start happening, that's when they'll get everyone's attention. But no question, it is a unique model, and there is no one with more energy than Ernie Garcia. they are in dozens and dozens of markets, so many more than they were even a year ago, as he mentioned. And let's face it, he drives a Tesla and thinks Elon Musk is going to be a great figure in the history books.
Listen, it's a cool story, really great stuff out of NADA, really great stuff out of our World Congress as well. That's
true.
Where Mike and I caught up with Kumar Galhotra. He's president of North America for Ford Motor Company.
You've been at Ford for about...
A little over 30 years.
Yeah. 30 years now. You've been in your current role for...
10 months.
10 months, and yet you've made drastic changes to how Ford runs its North America business, focusing on individual product lines. How did you come to that realization?
So for any business, there are multiple ways to drive the business. You can look at it through the lens of a function. You can look at it lens of marketing or lens of share or lens of... what we wanted to do, and it wasn't just me, the entire team, North America leadership team got together, and we wanted to do was through which lens should we look at the business? And we chose the quote-unquote the business lens, which means we make great products. F-Series is a great product. Explorer is a great product. But those great products are in service of a great business. And how do we optimize the total business, which means manufacturing, product development, marketing, purchasing, all have to work in a very integrated, holistic way to optimize the whole. And that's the approach we took, and it seems to be paying dividends, and that's the path we're on.
How much research are you guys doing into that traditional Bronco customer compared to some that you're probably trying to attract to that vehicle for the first time?
Yeah, Bronco is a really interesting, I consider it a brand asset. Okay, the name is a brand asset, but that name can't just be a nameplate. It has to live up to all the expectations that come with the name.
Which can be a little difficult.
Which can be difficult at times, but you can't cheat there, right? So that Bronco names means a certain kind of styling, period. So for our designers, it's really important to understand which design cues make a Bronco a Bronco. And as you know, our designers are really good at that, because you look at a Mustang today and you look at a Mustang 40 years ago or 50 years ago, you can tell at a glance it's still a Mustang, although one is very fresh.
DNA in the family.
DNA in the family, exactly.
Yeah.
So which design cues make a Bronco a Bronco? We are very clear on that, and we're going to be true to that, right? Then there comes the capability. What kind of capability needs to go with the Bronco name? And we have to deliver on that. And all of this research is both from what I would call the Bronco enthusiasts, who are hardcore. These people are buying and investing tens of thousands of dollars in restoring the old Broncos. So we're very much in touch with them. And then there's the new generation who have never driven an old Bronco, but it is one of the most popular vehicles with millennials, the old Broncos. So we're talking to them. What is it that attracts them to the Bronco? What kind of emotion, what kind of feeling, what kind of capability, what kind of design language? And a combination of all that is what's going into designing the next one. One of the most exciting projects going on right now.
So Kumar, have you seen the final designs for it yet?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
So what happens? You walk into that room, what's your reaction?
It puts a smile on my face. That's the ultimate test, you know. The vehicles that just put a smile on my face. The Navigator, when it was still in the studio, walk in and it felt like it was going to be a huge success, because it just met the kind of the stance, the presence that customer was looking for. Same thing with the Aviator. As we evolved the design, it was one of those things where, you know, the Lincoln leadership team would walk into the studio and just smile looking at the Aviator Clay. And it is a similar process. You know, vehicles, emotional vehicles like Bronco, they better put a smile on your face. And it does.
Always good to catch up with Kumar. Interesting, the number of product bosses who have been a part of the development of the Bronco. I mean, you don't want it to turn out like an Aztec, right? Too many cooks in the kitchen over the course of time. But maybe they've settled now on one philosophy behind this vehicle, and hopefully executives will stay.
It sounds like it, Jason. This thing was announced, what, two or three Detroit auto shows ago, three or four years ago?
Yeah.
Started trickling out, and it's going to be Ford's most pivotal vehicle launch. Yeah. Forget about F-Series. Forget about the F-150. The Bronco will be its most important vehicle.
Well, and I mean, even before that, there were rumors of it. And I mean, we've talked about it, but they're trying to stay true to that heritage, and that's what Kumar was saying. And I think it might honestly be a little bit of a gamble, because we've seen people stay with their heritage. Dodge does it very well. GM went different with the Blazer and kind of turned that rugged Blazer into a regular crossover, which some people who I've been talking with have kind of criticized that. But I mean, every time you bring back a new nameplate, it's always a gamble which way you go. Either evolve it or kind of stay true to that heritage.
And the little we've heard so far has suggested that they're going to really make it a rugged off-road body-on-frame SUV, right?
And whether cheap it's competitor.
Exactly. Yeah. Whether it's two-door, four-door, maybe both, right? It seems like they're going to offer a lot of options, a lot of customization on this thing. And Kumar said he's seen those final designs, and he likes what he sees.
Well, it'll be a story that we're going to watch for the next couple of years. Really interesting to see how it all shakes out, both for Carvana and for the Bronco, right? Going forward.
Yep.
You know, they used to say that NADA and World Congress in the same month in January sets us up for the next 11 months. And I think we're going to have a lot of stories to tell going forward. So
a lot of good shows, too.
A lot of good shows to come. That's right. So for Mike Whalen, Mike Martinez, Ernie Garcia, Kumar Galhotra, thanks so much for watching on this Saturday. We'll see you next weekend.